Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to the weekend, everyone. Time for Toker Talk Radio. It's Friday. It's Festivus. It's 4 o'clock. And we got a pipe load of weed to smoke. Hope you do, too. Happy holidays to you, whichever one you're celebrating. I'm enjoying my Festivus, had my airing of the grievances, at least 4 grievances, but I'm sure I'll think of more. This year winds down. It's kind of a crappy year. Can we agree that 2016 has sucked the proverbial whatever it is that you think most designate suckage? You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank as to what is the worst suckage. But I tell you, having this Carrie Fisher news come out today, she suffered a massive heart attack on a flight from London to L.A. As last reports I've read, she's in critical condition. This was over an hour or two ago. And a year that started on January 10th with David Bowie's death, that would end with a Carrie Fisher. I can't even say it. I can't even imagine or think it happening. I do not want that. It's so sad. And I went through the list today. There's a great, I shouldn't say it's a great list, but there's a list out there of the celebrity deaths from 2016, because a lot of people have been saying, has this been, you know, seems like there's more this year than usual. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think more people have passed on, in the celebrity realm. I just think it's more tragic and younger deaths that we've seen this year than usual. Like, I have this theory, right? I don't know if it's a theory. It's a, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But I feel sad. An equation. Let's call it an equation. I have this equation. When I learn of someone's death, I am as sad as 100 minus their age. So think about that, right? Like Abe Vigoda died and he was like 97, right? So yeah, I'm sad that Abe Vigoda died, but like, I'm just 3% sad. You know, it's like, guy lived to be 97. That's a hell of a life, right? But like when a 2-year-old dies, holy shit, you're just crestfallen, right? That's like 98% sad. That's almost as fully sad as you can be. You know, 2 years old, far too young, right? So when we get these deaths that are happening to people in their 50s and their 60s, well, that's, I'm pretty sad about that. It also works in the negative numbers, by the way. Someone dies at like age 105. I'm like 5% happy. I'm like, well, wow, the guy made it to 105. Wow, that's amazing. Good for him. And, you know, glad he had a good long life. So anyway, here's a list. For me, if you're dying under the age of 75, it's too soon. I think people should live to be longer than 75 years old. And if it's before that, it's too soon. So here's a list from 2016 of the people who died younger than the age of 75. David Bowie, Alan Rickman, Glenn Frey, Paul Kantner, Maurice White, Vanity, Keith Emerson, Fife Dog, Gary Shandling, Prince, Lonnie Mack, Muhammad Ali, Bernie Worrell, Pete Burns, Leon Russell, Gwen Ifill, Ron Glass, Greg Lake, Alan Thicke, and Craig Sager all died younger than the age of 75. That's just, that's too young. And some of them, way too young. You know, Pete Burns, 57. Prince, 57. Fife Dog was only 45, younger than me. That's just too young. Especially, you know, I'm approaching 49 now. I'll be 7 squared next month. These ages seem much, much younger to me the older I get. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about the pot industry and its energy appetite right after the break.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Legal to listen to all over the world.
We're just not sure about France.
CannabisRadio.com.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News, presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
We have a breaking update on the Carrie Fisher story coming from the Associated Press. Carrie Fisher is in stable condition after suffering a medical emergency aboard a flight Friday. Her brother, Todd Fisher, told the Associated Press that she was, quote, out of emergency, end quote, and stabilized at a Los Angeles hospital Friday afternoon. He said he could not discuss any other details about what happened. Star Wars star suffered medical trouble during a flight from London and was treated by paramedics immediately upon landing in Los Angeles around noon Friday, according to reports citing anonymous sources. Celebrity website TMZ, which first reported the incident, said anonymous sources told them the actress suffered a heart attack. Fisher's publicists and representatives for her mother, Debbie Reynolds, and her daughter, Billie Lord, did not immediately return calls from the AP. So good news coming out of Los Angeles. It seems that maybe the reports of heart attack were overblown, or maybe she just has recovered well, but it sounds like Carrie Fisher's in stable condition and may be able to escape 2016. What a terrible year. How is it that guys like Stevie Ray Vaughan and, you know, Jimi Hendrix and these guys, these great talents, these beloved people die so young, and yet all four members of Motley Crue are still alive? Why? How does this work, right? I mean, Trump and Cheney escaped from 2016. They're both old, fat, 70-year-old guys with, you know, clogged arteries and no exercise. How do these guys live so long? What the hell is Donald Rumsfeld? Is he still alive? Is Rumsfeld still alive? I don't even know if he is. I'm going to look it up. How do these guys manage to escape one of the worst years here? Yeah, 84 years old. Rumsfeld's still alive. 84. Why? Why must we lose Gene Wilder at 83, but Donald Rumsfeld is still roaming the planet? Kathy in the chat room does make a good point. Keith Richards is still alive. I don't know. I don't know about Keith Richards, though. Keith Richards might be just the exception that proves the rule. Keith Richards is like his own exceptional case. How does he still walk the planet? Oh, my goodness. All right. Also, another story I just wanted to put out there. Donald Trump's inauguration is coming up, right? Excuse me, I just threw up my mouth a little. Donald Trump's inauguration is coming up on January 20th, and the reports are that he's having difficulty getting people to perform at this event. None of the D.C. area marching band, high school marching bands, have applied to go, last I read, right? No, thank you, rather not. And the latest I hear is that the Rockettes, the Radio City Rockettes, are going to be dancing at the inauguration. Now, the first reports I heard on this, tweets that I saw, was that this was mandatory. It was in their contract. They had to go perform, and then some of the dancers were upset. They didn't, you know, they were a little upset at, you know, having to perform at a serial sexual assaulter's inauguration. So, yeah, they had a problem with it. But reports now coming out, the Madison Square Garden Company says that no dancers are being compelled to attend the event. The company in a statement said, quote, "For a Rockette to be considered for an event, they must voluntarily sign up and are never told they have to perform at a particular event, including the inaugural. It is always their choice. In fact, for the incoming inauguration, we had more Rockettes request to participate than we have slots available." Okay. So go ahead and perform at the Trump inauguration. Another group performing at the Trump inauguration, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Yeah, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. gonna be singing there for the inauguration of Mr. Grab 'em by the Pussy. Yeah. Okay, Mormons, way to go on that one. Good choice. Keep the moral high ground, why don't you? All right, let me go to some marijuana stories here, because I stayed too long on the Trump. It'll ruin my Festivus. We don't want that to happen. There's a story out in greenbiz.com. Can we master the pot industry's energy appetite? And it brings up the point that California, Massachusetts, Nevada, and Maine all legalized marijuana. Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Alaska, D.C. already have legalized marijuana. And this means what they say is a huge new demand for electricity. And over 90% of legal marijuana is grown indoors, where, of course, you have to have the lighting and the climate control and all of that. And they say grow facilities have energy densities, and that's a term referring to, you know, per square foot of business, how much energy are you using. So they're saying they have energy densities similar to those of data centers. You know, huge server farms, right? In 2015, Colorado's marijuana industry consumed 300 gigawatt hours of electricity, including over 2% of Denver's total demand. The Pacific Northwest is expected to see marijuana load on par with electrical vehicle load over the next 20 years. California and the other new states may see several terawatt hours of new demand, comparable to the entire demand for Washington, D.C. or Rhode Island, just to grow weed. Now, the first thing I know a lot of you are thinking are, well, yeah, duh, because you force us to grow it inside. Colorado, they force them to grow it inside. Let these people grow outside. Let them take advantage of the sun. Let them use greenhouses. Let's reduce that energy footprint. And yeah, we could. That's going to help a lot. We can do that, certainly. But it's never going to eliminate the indoor grow market. For one, people, especially in this legalized world, there's going to be that high-end demand, that demand for the high-end super boutique bud. And no matter how great an outdoor grower you are, you don't have as much control over the plant as you do growing indoors. So there's always going to be a bunch of indoor warehouse grows growing this high-end bud. We might be able to reduce some of the demand, energy demand, at least at the mid-grade or the low end, with some sun-grown cannabis. But there's always going to be people growing indoors commercially. And you got to consider the people growing indoors recreationally, personally, other than the state of Washington, of course. But all the other states, you can grow four plants indoors or six plants indoors or whatever. And those laws mandate that you grow it indoors in an enclosed, locked facility, like in your house, in a closet or something, or in your garage. They don't want a whole bunch of backyard pot gardens popping up. Well, those people are going to use lights then, and they're going to use air conditioning and heating and venting, and that's going to take energy. So it's just inevitable that we're going to be using far more energy as we legalize marijuana more. It's just a matter of how much of that is unnecessary because of our restrictions, because of our regulations. Let's change our regulations. Let's allow people to grow their weed outside, for God's sake. Allow the companies that want to grow their weed outside. Don't mandate it. Some of these are going to, you know, so, like I said, some are going to want the boutique grows and keep the high-end, you know, super crystally buds. The energy costs for growers are between 20 to 50% of their operating costs. We've helped reduce these through things like LEDs, getting rid of, you know, high-pressure sodium and metal halide. But the people that want to make the change to this, right? If you already got a business set up with all the high-end, you know, HPS lights or metal halide lights, and you want to do a wholesale conversion to LED, you can't get the kind of loans that banks and the federal government back up as far as, you know, energy efficiency stuff. This is another thing that, because of the federal illegality of cannabis, a bunch of these programs from Department of Energy and housing and these programs that are designed to get homeowners to adopt more energy friendly practices and equipment can't be utilized because cannabis is illegal. So they're stuck doing it the old inefficient way. They can't get the loan they need. You know, banks are refusing to loan to cannabis businesses and such. Can't get the loan they need to convert. They can't get the federal assistance they would get if they were any other industry. And we've just got a situation now where this is going to be a big concern. Fortunately, marijuana may just solve this for us. We've reported on the scientists who've discovered a way to make hemp fibers, industrial hemp fibers, that can replace the function of graphene in mass storage batteries for 1/1,000th of the cost. Now, one of the big problems we've got with wind and solar and tidal type of technologies, renewable energy technologies, solar and so forth, is that our electrical grid requires a constant flow of power. It's that alternating current, right? But the sun don't shine all the time, and the wind don't blow all the time. And so some of these alternative fuel sources are impractical for our type of grid because they don't continuously provide power. Well, the way we solve that is when it is sunny, when the wind is blowing, we store some of that power in batteries. And then when it gets cloudy or still, we can pump some of the battery power out and keep that continuous flow going. Well, the batteries cost too much. By the time you spend the money on the batteries, you've lost the benefit, most of the benefit, of the solar or the wind or whatever. But not if you can make that battery for 1/1,000th of the cost. Now you got all the energy storage you need, and these technologies become more viable. Especially the solar is becoming more viable. Solar cells are becoming much less expensive.
You're really clouding the energy in this room right now.
Cloudy. I get it. That's funny. It's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone on Festivus. Thank you for being here on the show. Thanks for supporting us. We appreciate it very much.
A Festivus for the rest of us.
That's right. We're going to take a break and celebrate Festivus with the smoking of the trees. They never got to that in the Seinfeld episode.
Being green is good. Growing green is good. Making green is great. CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis legalization efforts are increasing competition for businesses wanting to make it big. In this complex and fast-changing environment, only the savviest will survive. What are you going to do to stay ahead of the game? Enter New Frontier's free platform, Equio, the premier business intelligence, visualization, and marketing platform for the cannabis industry. With Equio, you can stay on top of your store's sales, trends, and competition, better understand your seasonality and broader sales trends, identify and compare your top products and categories, and cross-buying opportunities. Go to www.equio.io to sign up for your free membership today. That's EQUIO.io to sign up now. The power of real-time big data is now in your hands. Run with New Frontier and let us help you conquer the wild.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 23 after. It's Festivus, and we are so glad you could be here with us for our holiday celebration.
Hey, happy Festivus, everyone!
That's great to have you here. We were talking about drug testing earlier today with our guest, Dan Vietz from Missouri. Decision came out of the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals that shot down suspicionless blanket drug testing for all incoming college students at a college that receives, that's a public college that receives federal funds. And this is like the only line so far that it seems the drug testing industry hasn't crept into, is just absolute suspicionless, random, unannounced sort of testing for all students. They managed to keep it for workplace, right? You want to get a job, they can mandate that you have to pee in a cup. You have to surrender your piss to determine whether you're qualified to, you know, work the shop floor or whatever. But when it comes to schools, they've managed to uphold at least some sliver of the Fourth Amendment that says if you're going to school, the mere fact that you're going to school isn't enough to mandate that you have a drug test. But the problem that we have is that they've drawn this line, especially when it comes to the public schools and the kids, they've drawn this line in such a way that the kids could just only go to school and not do anything else in order to in their class if they want to avoid drug testing. So this originally started, of course, the whole drug testing thing started in the 80s, like most of our horrific public policies did. And this was the, you know, when the train car conductor on the in the Northeastern corridor wrecked his train and killed some people, and they found out he had pot in his system. He'd been smoking weed. And so this kind of ushered in under the Reagan administration this mandatory federal drug testing for transportation workers. This is under Department of Transportation. If you're driving a plane or a train or a ferry or a bus or anything like that, anything where you got to get a DOT sort of certification, they mandated that you would have to take drug tests. Now, we know drug tests are inaccurate and ineffective because the drugs that you really care about, the coke, the heroin, the methamphetamine, the PCP, all that kind of stuff, the stuff that if you're high on it, we got a big problem. Those drugs flush out of your system really quickly. You'd have to be like currently high on those drugs to test positive. If you use those drugs the previous night at a party, it's likely that you could test negative, but not marijuana. Marijuana is going to stay in your system for at least 3 days, up to a week, in rare cases, a month or longer after the last time you smoked it. So all we have with drug testing, all we're doing with drug testing is finding out who smokes pot. That's all a drug test tells you, a metabolite test. All it's telling you when you're pissing in that cup for a job is that you're a pot smoker. And that status alone is legally enough to discriminate against you. The fact that you had smoked pot. Not that you're currently smoking pot, not that you're high at the moment, but the fact that you had smoked pot, that's enough to discriminate against you and remains a reason to discriminate against you, even in the states where that activity is completely legal. Now, I'm told by some that there are companies that discriminate against tobacco smokers. They won't hire people if they smoke cigarettes. I think that's wrong, too. I like the law they've got in Colorado, the lawful off-duty statute law, the lawful off-duties activities statute, I should say, that says you can't be discriminated for taking part in activities that are legal. We can't use the fact that you joined the bowling team or the KKK or Mensa or, you know, some furry group or whatever. As long as it's legal, it's perfectly okay. And we can't discriminate against you because of that. Now, unfortunately, that law didn't help the medical marijuana patients in Colorado because the courts ruled that lawful off-duties, off-duty activities, lawful also included federal law, which I don't understand because the lawful off-duty statute is a state law. So shouldn't it only apply to state laws? But, you know, they'll always find a way to bring that Schedule I federal designation in if they can, to invalidate our rights. But that's the way it should be. To me, we have this freedom of religion. We have the First Amendment in this country. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You're free to have a religion. You're free to not have a religion. Government's got to be neutral. But what is that? What's the spirit of that? What does that really mean? Right? What is a religion? Well, a religion is a belief system in cosmology, how you were created, origins, meaning. It's a set of rules and traditions. It's a set of actions and observances and holidays and a bunch of stuff that make up what we consider to be religion, what our founding fathers would have considered religion to be, right? Now, to me, it's beyond government's purview to try to determine what religion is. And in fact, the government agrees with me on this point. When you look at like the IRS tax code, when it comes to religion, they don't actually define it. They don't get around to actually defining church or religion. The feds want to stay away from that little mess. Now, they got some tests, they got some, you know, procedures and stuff to evaluate things, but they don't, basically they say things are religions until we can say they're not. They don't go about proactively defining what makes a religion. It's a really weird area of the law. You got to check it out sometime. But the spirit of this freedom of religion, to me, is really deeper than just religion. Because what is religion? To someone who believes religion, it is everything. It's their eternal life. It's the entire universe. It's the whole purpose for existence. In that perspective, in that context, then, religion is bigger than life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's everything. It includes all those things. So if we have this freedom of religion, and it's freedom to act upon this religion, so long as we don't harm others, does that not extend to our freedom to believe what we want and act how we want so it does not harm others? Why must it have this label religion when the label religion hasn't actually been defined? To me, what it means to be an American, what it means to believe in this Constitution and the rights that are laid out in the Bill of Rights, what it means is, in a free society, things are legal and people have rights unless they're not legal or unless those rights have been assigned to the state or the feds. That's in the Ninth Amendment. The enumeration in this Constitution of certain rights is not meant to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That's the essence to me of what this experiment is all about, is that we are free and we need no authority to determine that we're free. It's self-evident. It is bestowed upon us by our creator, or by creation, however you interpret that. So when it comes to this drug testing thing, when businesses are allowed to discriminate against us by the content of our urine, they're infringing upon our rights. We're allowing businesses to infringe upon our First Amendment right to religion, which is really the right to conscience. It's the right to how you think. It's the right to how you see the world and believe and act, and your sacraments and your sacrifices and your holidays and traditions and culture and all of that. It's our heritage, people. Drug testing flies in the face of that. Imagine getting into a time machine and trying to explain to James Madison that we needed to collect a cup of his piss to determine whether or not he'd be good enough to be president. Imagine that conversation. Well, Mr. Madison, if we detect that there's metabolites of hemp in your urine, why, that shows that you've been consuming it and therefore are ineligible for respect and adulation, ineligible for employment and a decent shot in society. Imagine that conversation. Imagine trying to make that point. But the drug testing has been, it started with the train car conductors and the pilots, and everybody accepted that. Oh, well, yeah, of course, because why, they're in safety sensitive positions without any evidence that the use of marijuana in and of itself is going to make someone a less safe train conductor or pilot. Sure, if they're high at the time. But I'm talking the results of a THC assay in their piss tells us nothing. All it does is discriminate against good people who happen to consume cannabis. But we accepted that, oh, because it's the forklifts and the, or no, I mean, it was the trains and it's the planes, and we can accept that because hundreds of people's lives are in the balance. The hundreds of people on the plane, or the hundreds of people on the train, or the dozens of people on the bus. Well, we can't, or the people on the freeway, the truckers. We can't have the truckers running into dozens of people on the freeway. But of course, it didn't stay there, did it? No. The next place it came to was the workplace, where a lot of these bosses were like, well, gee whiz, forklift's about as dangerous as a truck, isn't it? And then it became, oh, well, now we can test for the safety sensitive positions. Any place where anybody could get harmed from heavy machinery, well, we can drug test there too. But it didn't stay there, did it? No. After that, it just became drug testing for any job, Didn't matter what kind of job, you could just be drug tested for it because, you know, productivity and workplace safety and a bunch of excuses that, again, were never backed up by any evidence or science. Some people at this point will try to throw out the Firestone study. I don't even have the time to give you the debunk of that one. The too long didn't read version is it's bullshit. It was made up. But that's where it stays in the employment world. And the excuse there is always, well, that's not government banning, abrogating your Fourth Amendment rights. That's a voluntary contract between you and the employer. You don't have to give up your piss. Nobody is forcing you to a search and seizure. Right. Like we can just exist without employment. Like we're all just naturally rich and don't have to work. But when it comes to the schools, in the schools, we had a similar sort of creeping erosion of our rights. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show live from Delta 9 Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. Happy Festivus, everyone. We're going to take a break. And we'll come back with more Festivus celebration. Stick around.
Happy Festivus!
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis use isn't the only thing growing. So are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Everyone deserves the medicine they need. Aaron's premium CBD essentials and CBD nectar products are made from plant-based organic ingredients, grown and processed in the United States. Our unique formula of coconut oil and coconut water, infused with CBD oil, is ideal for all skin types and provides maximum relief. Aaron's Essentials was formulated by 9/11 first responder and stage 4 cancer survivor Aaron Sieber. As a cannabis connoisseur, Aaron began making and using his own lab-tested medicinal cannabis products to help relieve the side effects of his rigorous cancer treatments. Visit www.canisaurbrands.com for more information on Aaron's Essentials and learn how you can pay it forward. That's CannaisaurBrands.com.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show. Good day, everybody. Radical Russ here in Aspen, Colorado at the Alaska Northwest Cannabis Classic, at the 26th annual Boston Freedom Rally, at the High Times Cannabis Cup, Northern California, day one of CannaCon in Seattle, Washington.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
And blue blashing gurgan, fuffin' der blashing schnurb norbin. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we were talking about student drug testing before the break, actually drug testing in general. This on the heels of a decision by the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals that Lynn Technical College in Missouri and its policy of drug testing anybody who applies to go to school there is unconstitutional. And basically the court has said that you just can't blanket test everybody because going to school is not a probable cause to believe that someone is engaged in a drug activity. And there's no safety concerns for most students, so it's just not a valid application of their powers. Now, this drug testing at the school level has gone through a number of court decisions as well to get to where we're at right now. In the first iteration, the schools wanted to drug test kids that were playing football, kids that were involved in impact sports. And the rationale there was, well, we don't want the kids flying around on the football field getting injured because they're all high. And that was accepted. That was a policy that was found to be constitutional. Somewhat along the same lines as the safety-sensitive workers, in that, well, we don't have a probable cause to believe that they're actually committing a crime. However, the society's need to protect them, to protect each other, protect ourselves, outweighs that. There's a safety issue involved here, so we can waive a little bit of that Fourth Amendment and require the seizure of people's pee if they're underage, going to public school, and want to play football. Well, later that got expanded. Not just football, not just basketball or volleyball or track or anything like that, but we'll expand it to all the sports. Golf, you're playing golf, we're going to drug test you there too. And then they said, well, that's okay too. Then they expanded a little more and said, well, let's not just do golf. Let's not just do sports. What about band? All these kids in the marching band, you know, they could trip and, land on a tuba. How about the cheerleaders? They're doing all those basket tosses and stuff. Oh, can't have them be high. What about those kids on the chess club? They might abuse Adderall to get a competitive advantage. Who knows what their excuses are? But time and time again, the courts have said, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead, take the pee from the kids. It's even got to the point where school districts that allow older teens, you know, in some of these states that have graduated driver's licenses, you can drive at age 16. And so they allow these high school kids to, you know, park their cars on campus. But in order to get the parking pass, guess what? Got to pass a drug test. So the only realm in the student's life where the courts have decided they can't be drug tested for is solely going to school, just going to school and taking classes. They can't be in any extracurricular activities, can't drive their car to school without having to surrender some of their Fourth Amendment rights. Well, there's some good news in the news on this particular issue, and it comes out of the state of Wisconsin and Governor Scott Walker. So right now my head is about to explode. It's like I have to say something good about Scott Walker. Holy shit. But the story out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is that Governor Scott Walker and the Assembly Speaker are panning the idea of mandating drug testing for high school athletes, leaving little chance for a quick passage of the concept next year. Panning the concept of student drug testing. And one of the quotes here from this Assembly member, Representative Joel Clefish, said, quote, having children urinate in a cup is still a fairly abhorrent idea, end quote. No shit. Really? I think it was George Carlin who once said, if the drug test wasn't pee in a cup but shit in a bag, would people still think it as useful? Would it still be as popular? Well, that concept is at play in the story, because one of the Republican lawmakers there in that state has suggested that we do something different instead, and that is go with the hair testing. You know, it's abhorrent to take the pee, so let's go with the hair. Folks, it's not the substance you're taking from me and how dirty or clean or gross or not gross that substance is that's the problem, that's abhorrent. It's the surrendering of Fourth Amendment rights to take part in very vital and important parts of one's school development that is abhorrent. One of the leading new paradigms that's coming out in the world of addiction science and pharmacology is this concept that addiction isn't a disease. This has been one, you know, the popular since the 80s, you know, the disease model of drug addiction, which I've always thought was kind of dumb, because you can catch diseases, or you're born with diseases, right? Like, it didn't really fit to me that it was a disease. And I never liked the 12-step stuff where, you know, we're powerless over this and we give up all power. That always seemed to me a recipe for disaster, to not think you have the power to control your destiny. But now people are starting, these leading researchers are starting to see addiction as not any sort of, you know, chemical issue that your brain's been hijacked or anything like that. And the point they make is that, you know, thousands of people go into the hospital every year for broken hips or legs or big problems, and they get administered morphine or worse, fentanyl, you know, heavy duty opioids. So how come all those people, if again, drugs are supposedly these chemical hooks that hijack your brain, how is it that those people don't all end up addicted? Now, some do, but how come they don't end up addicted in much greater numbers? And yet the people that use something that's pharmacologically similar, heroin, end up addicted in greater numbers. Well, it's because the people that have access to the fentanyls and the hydrocodones and Vicodins, all that kind of stuff, those people have generally better lives, jobs, health insurance, houses, incomes, net worth. And the people who have the access to the heroin generally don't have those things in as great abundance. It's not the chemical itself, because heroin, oxy, fentanyl, very chemically similar, very pharmacologically similar. It's the circumstances in which the people taking those drugs have to take them. It's the old rat park model. You can get these rats addicted to heroin or cocaine when all they got is a steel cage and nothing else to do. But you give them a nice rat park cage with female rats and wheels to run on and things to do and play on and such, and they don't get addicted to heroin as much or cocaine as much. So this new model is this model that's pointing out that addiction is really more a symptom of human disconnection. It's more a symptom of lacking belonging and meaning in a social context. So what do we do then in our schools to deal with the kid who might be becoming disconnected and thereby turns to drugs? Well, if he slips and does turn to drugs, let's make sure he can't be on the chess team or on the volleyball team or in the band or drive his car to school or anything like that. Let's make sure we punish him and isolate him as much as possible. That ought to help. We do precisely the opposite of what we ought to do. Drug testing is only going to make the Randall Pink Floyds, my dazed and confused reference there, make them not want to play high school football. It's going to make these kids want to disconnect for fear they get caught. And this is good news coming out of, you know, out of Wisconsin, that they're going to reject this blanket random drug testing for all students, but it just sounds like they're just holding off on it to me. I don't know. I really hope that as marijuana becomes more and more legalized across this country and more people recognize that it is an acceptable and preferable alternative to alcohol, that we can begin to attack this drug testing monster. And largely, really, all we've got to do is attack the marijuana drug testing. And the thing is, our opponents know that. Marijuana is the drug by far. It's like every other drug test has failed for marijuana. It is by far the grist that keeps this drug war mill, this part of the drug war mill, running. And that if marijuana were no longer subject to drug testing, lots and lots of these companies would lose a lot of money. There's money in this drug testing. That's what's really involved here. We're not concerned about people's safety. Hell, if we were, we would be alcohol testing a lot more than we are. No, it's about these companies that can make money through the continued vilification for no good reason of cannabis consumers. This whole industry dedicated to detecting us, to finding us, and then using that information to discriminate against us. And it's going to be harder and harder for these drug testing proponents to keep pointing at federal illegality. It's going to work for a while. But after 8 states now and 1/5 of the U.S. population live somewhere where it is perfectly legal to smoke weed, it becomes harder and harder morally to justify discriminating against people for that act. And it's going to be especially hard for them if they try to do this a la the tobacco model. Well, secondhand smoke is so bad for everybody, when the science is going to show secondhand marijuana smoke's not that bad for people. Oh, well, tobacco leads to, people getting sick, and so that'll be massive health care costs for the company. Not so with cannabis. Cannabis doesn't seem to lead. In fact, seems to be leading to people having healthier lives, lower body mass index, less incidence of Alzheimer's, less incidence of diabetes. So that argument's not going to fly. Well, it reduces productivity. Well, we're not seeing that. Productivity has been, on a per worker, per hour basis, has been climbing in the United States since the 1970s, even though the wages haven't. The productivity sure has, even as more states have legalized, even as more people are smoking pot. So they're not going to have the safety issue. They're not going to have the secondhand smoke issue with other people. They're not going to have the productivity issue. They're not going to have the illness and absenteeism issue. How are they going to justify continuing to discriminate against us? And folks, we really need to hammer this home and turn this into an equal rights argument. To me, treat marijuana like alcohol wasn't a call for two substances to be treated the same. It was a call for their users to be treated the same. No more separate but equal. No more discriminating against us and keeping us out of the best jobs and refusing us the scholarships and taking away our opportunities just because we had the sense to pick something safer to get a buzz on. See, I had some more grievances, didn't I? Oh, happy Festivus, everyone. Happy, happy holidays to you. Christmas begins on Sunday, Christmas is Sunday, and Hanukkah begins on Sunday. So happy holidays to you all. Be back right after this.
A Festivus for the rest of us.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer. or email firedup@gmail.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here?
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Right, welcome back, everybody. Just closing up shop here for the end of this week and reminding you that next week we got more shows, but not on Monday. Monday is the federal Christmas Day holiday, and as you know, I take all federal holidays off except the one dedicated to the rapist, torturing, genocidal murderer Christopher Columbus. I don't take that one off, but the rest of them I do, and that means I'll be off on Monday. And also, getting ready for next Sunday. Next Sunday, New Year's Day, means that next Monday will also be a day off because that's the New Year's federal holiday. Well, I'll be celebrating the Packers making the playoffs after defeating the Lions at home. I'm looking too far ahead. We got the Vikings to play tomorrow. And in that realm, I've got my brother coming over. He's going to join me. We're going to have a Packers bacon breakfast. And yeah, we call it bacon breakfast. We have bacon with like a side of eggs and pancakes. But the main course is bacon, as it should be. Quick notes from the world of marijuana. We will have many more guests on the show coming up next week and for 2017. And first gig in 2017, last week of January, I'll be out in Richmond, Virginia at the Virginia Normal Conference. So stay tuned for details on that. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at the states that have legalized marijuana and, of course, our retrospectives for 2016. What a year it's been. I got to say, aside from eight states passing marijuana reforms, eight out of nine, aside from that, 2016 pretty much sucked, didn't it? What a terrible, terrible year. But in the marijuana world, turned out pretty good. We'll take a look back at the election. We'll take a look at the states that have legalized, give you a rundown on what is exactly legal in these various states, and a look forward to which states may be pursuing medical marijuana and marijuana legalization in 2018. We already heard from Dan Vietz earlier today that Missouri is moving forward on medical marijuana for 2018. Michigan, the MI legalized people, they're working on a statewide legalization initiative for 2018. Some people would counsel these groups to wait until 2020, to wait until the presidential election when there's better turnout. But, you know, I think that day is past. I think we're, you know, so far up in the polls these days that it's really not necessary to have to wait for that that presidential election. I think you can do it in a midterm election. I also think that we should strike while the iron's hot. I said the same thing in 2014 with Oregon. They tried to talk us into waiting till 2016. I said, no, strike while the iron's hot. You never know what bad things could happen. You never know how the political pendulum could swing. Get what you can get as quick as you can get it. So we'll be covering those campaigns as we move forward into 2018. Well, that song means that it's all the time we got today. Time flies when you legalize, folks. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com and Delta 9 Studios in beautiful legal Portland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Happy Festivus. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Joyous Kwanzaa. Celebratory Yule. Whatever it is you might be celebrating or nothing at all. Thanks for joining us. You can always make a Christmas donation to the show through PayPal at Russ@RadicalRuss.com. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
rocket and it goes down smooth. Hey!